Are there any times or situations for whom formal practice is not particularly helpful? If so, please, sort of asking for something about alternative practices. So, yeah, I mean, there's sometimes, you know, even in our own ourselves, I mean, there's sometimes when formal practice is very difficult. Could be there's a lot of stress or there's a lot of distraction in some way, and it's really hard to do the formal practice, and that's where having a good spiritual friendship is helpful in that, because sometimes if it's difficult for ourselves, but then to be in a group and doing something together with others, then we can get some momentum going, and that's very, very helpful. Sometimes, say for ourselves, we might find formal sitting difficult, but then walking meditation is more useful or meaningful, or sometimes like for chanting is something that can be very useful for people. They're not so much for oftentimes for us as Westerners, sometimes we don't connect with chanting. It took me a while to connect with chanting. But that's in traditional Buddhist cultures, and chanting forms a large part of ways of skillful means of being able to settle, focus attention, and I personally, I found my mind become very settled and peaceful chanting, and so that's a. Those are helpful practices. Sometimes, just say for myself, I can remember times when it's just really difficult to sit or get energy going at all, and just picking up a broom and sweeping the trails in the monastery. Just really, and in making that a practice, just having, being able to have a physical activity that I could engage in, and that could be the same if one incredibly restless. Okay, something to put energy into that. If one's just, there's this restless energy, and every time you try to sit, then it's like there's ants crawling in one's skin. It's just finding something that one can be putting energy into. That's not distracting. It's actually a benefit to others as well. Or like if as a householder. Some people have gardening. Gardening is a great way of focusing attention and doing something that is settling. So there's many things that one can be doing for oneself. And I think in terms of some people. Where formal meditation is not so helpful, certainly sometimes with mental illness, schizophrenia in particular, that should be really carefully either supported or being very careful with, because it is, because there's a kind of a, what was it, evangelical Buddhist meditators, sort of, it's a panacea for everything, and it's not, and it, or it needs to be really skillfully advised and monitored, so that some mental illnesses, then you really want to be very careful so that evangelical zeal needs to be curbed, and one has to be very incredibly kind and wise, actually, in one's advice. So that with some people, you can't just sort of say, "Oh, you should go and meditate," because it might not be the best thing at all. There are some people who are obsessive meditators. It would be good to just get them to actually do something. Mm-hmm. It would be better for them sometimes. So that's again, this aspect of balance is such an important a quality you should be attending to in terms of just because something is good doesn't mean it's always good. Mm-hmm. You can have too much of a good thing, or you can have a good thing that isn't used in the right way. So that these tools and techniques and teachings that the Buddha has given us, one has to have some experience and wisdom in order to apply them. You can see that just for yourself. How much do we fumble around with ourselves, and then in terms of others, and you have to have a bit more kind of boundaries and space for how's it going to work.